The following is a presentation of the Town of North Hempstead's Project Independence and WCWP. Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Welcome to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host today is Ann Hirsch.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ann. And Ann has another lovely new do. Every time she comes, she has to impress us with her new do's. But every week, I always bring up what Project Independence is to the town of North Hempstead before we start. And it's basically the town's initiative to help seniors age in place. And the most important thing anybody has to remember is 311. You call 311 at any point in time for anything you need. We probably already have a partnership set up, and if not, we'll send you someplace to get your directions. We have shopping for, actually, I just gave somebody the number yesterday, shopping, transportation for shopping, for doctor visits. We have social work services, house visits. We have, you go to some of the classes, so many different classes, Ann.
It's a variety, so you have a full range of choices.
Yeah, and there's something every day in the town going on. So really, for a senior, 60 and over, and I think we're almost at 13,000 members have signed up for Project Independence through the years. And the car service, is over 200,000 trips have been made. And it's, you know, we've had people on the show, especially now with the winter coming, or the winter's here, it snows, you're nervous to take out your own car, you call the car service. Why take a chance and fall? Oh, what a segue. Isn't that good? Today, we're very fortunate to have Samana Khan with us. And Samana is an occupational therapist with New York Institute of Technology, specifically the Academic Healthcare Center. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. And you know, the conversation we're going to have is fall prevention, which is so important. And especially now this time of year, you have ice and everything else getting into it. But before I go there, how did Samana get involved as a occupational therapist?
So I grew up surrounded by a lot of special needs children, as well as people in the elderly population who needed a lot of help. My grandparents lived with me for a long time. So I always knew that I wanted to go into a profession that would help people in need. Went to college, tried to find my longing, which, you know, okay, a lot of people do, finally did find occupational therapy. And I really liked that it had the variety to work with different populations, different people who needed help in a variety of different ways, from just simple injuries, sports injuries, to people who are living with chronic diseases. So I worked in the pediatric population for a while, which we were just talking about, in the special needs, special education. And then I transitioned into older adults, which really happened when my grandparents started aging and, you know, were in and out of the hospital, had falls.
Okay.
And, you know, I just didn't feel like I had, you know, the tools to help them. So I got more involved in this. And I've been working with older adults for 6 years now, 10 years as an occupational therapist in the hospital setting. And currently right now I'm at New York Institute of Technology, which is in the outpatient setting. And we see a variety of people, whether they've had falls, have Parkinson's disease, have other connective tissue disorders like Ehlers-Danlos syndrome. So a variety of services that are offered there, along with rehab, incorporating occupational therapy, physical therapy, speech therapy, as well as the medical facility that is also there for the the students on campus, but also open to the community.
Oh, it is? Okay, yes. I didn't realize that. That's why when you said the Academic Healthcare Center, I didn't realize it was open to the community.
Right.
That's tremendous.
They have a big portion that's open to the community, specifically the Adele Smithers Parkinson's Disease Treatment Center.
Okay.
So it's one of the very few Parkinson's specific treatment centers that are available in New York, but also in the U.S. You know, it's a very specific targeted practice. But generally, you know, it addresses any and all kinds of issues. I've had many people who use the car service, which I am so grateful for, because that's one of the biggest barriers to receiving services is that I can't get here. I don't have a ride. My kids, I don't drive anymore. My kids won't let me drive, you know. So there's plenty of barriers. But, you know, there's plenty of people who are in the community, want to be active, but don't necessarily have the resources. And you can get services, therapy in home, but that's not necessarily what you're looking for if you want to be active and independent. You need something more, targeted towards your goals and more active in the community.
Right. Plus, I mean, you would answer this. I think therapy in a place is better because there's limited tools, say, in somebody's home. You can only take so many things to somebody's house. Whereas once you're in a facility, all of a sudden you say, oh, your leg is not stretching enough. Guess what? Let's go over to this machine. Mm-hmm. You're not going to have that machine with you. And, you know, I mean, obviously, if that's the best you can do, if a person totally cannot get out of the house, something is better than nothing.
And right, also what's exactly nice about the group environment, as I know Christina and John will support, you're socializing to some degree.
Right, that's
you're
true.
Seeing others around who are doing things, and you may think to yourself, I can't do that. But when you see someone else doing something that is similar or exactly what you say, maybe I will try this. So in that sense, it is good to be out and
that's
about.
True. I didn't even think of that. There's almost a little, not a competition, but, you know,
camaraderie.
Camaraderie. Healthy.
Right. And again, you're out and about and out of the house.
Yes. Right.
And like you said, with winter approaching, there's not so many opportunities to go out. You know,
right.
You don't want to fall into that pattern of sedentary or just staying in the home. I mean, that has more than just on your physical being. It has an effect on your emotional being, your mental being as well. So being able to get out of the house, have a place to go regularly, you know, most of the time therapy is like once a week, those kind of things. So that helps, and on a holistic perspective as well.
And it is very true. January and February are tough months. You know, December starts to get, it's dark at night at 4:30 now. But you have the holidays, so you have enough stuff to keep you going. But once the holidays are over, you have that 4 o'clock and it's dark, or it's 30 degrees, especially for a senior. They're mm-hmm. not going out. It's like, what do you do? You have to be active, and
And what's good is you can put those people in when the sun is shining.
Right.
They're out for the day, other than food, which can also sort of hurt yourself with falling. Looking over your notes, you stress the importance of being active, and the amount of time that you need to put into it is really great when you have that kind of plan set up.
Yeah.
I agree.
A schedule, a routine involving those things, especially when you don't have as many resources available. In the summer, you can go out for a walk, go to the park.
Right.
Maybe
you can walk around the block.
Yeah.
You know.
You're less resources available in the wintertime. But once you have that routine set and that's your norm, then it's hard to sort of come back from that. You want to keep that up.
Actually,
that's important.
Totally off the side, that's the biggest time of the year for senior financial scams.
Wow.
Because they're home. And they're willing to pick up the phone and they have a conversation. They're bored. In the summer, you're walking around the block, you're seeing your friends. 2 o'clock in the afternoon, it's 30 degrees out, the phone rings. You're actually happy to pick it up. I mean, it sounds silly.
Hello, how are you?
And you start a conversation and, Ann, how's this? My name is John. And you go, by the way, we need $500 for something. And then they're doing it. I mean, and that's known. January and February are the worst times.
Wow.
Because they prey on the poor seniors who are homebound.
At home.
And also, if you are seasonally affected by things,
right.
You may feel a little blue during that time. Mm-hmm. So if you have your appointment, and even though you may be grunting about having to get dressed and get out, like you said, it's part of the routine.
Right.
Now you may be signaled, if they don't show up, to say, what's going on and where are they? Whereas if they're home, I don't know. I think it may be better to try to get them out and about, and also that social component
of seeing 100%.
Others. But at least it's for medical purposes that you're doing it for your other things.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard for me to get out in the winter.
Right.
It's hard for anyone. You know, it's cold. You have to bundle up. And it does make a difference, though. It makes a huge difference to just get out, get some fresh air.
Right.
Plenty of people tell me, I almost didn't make it today and I wasn't feeling well. But, you know, I got out a little bit and now I feel a lot
better.
Once
you get going, right.
Yeah.
Once you get moving, you're happy you did it.
And
9 out of 10 times.
It gets you away from that refrigerator thinking about what is the next thing I'm going to put in my mouth.
Right.
Because you're not going anywhere. You're not getting dressed. So the nightgown's a little tighter or whatever. And then you're, oh, my God, the summer is coming. What am I going to do? This way, if you have your schedule and your structure, although you may want to punch out of it, it's well worth having that structure set up.
I agree.
And getting you thinking about other things.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things we're going to start touching on now is some ideas, some steps for fall prevention, which is what we're talking about, which is what we're trying to, you know, which affects so many seniors. And I was just telling the story to Samana here. My wife fell yesterday at work. Now she's fine, but it just, you know, she had stuff in her hands, and she doesn't even remember like what she did, but she's in an environment with kids and something, a trip and something little, but then when you're not ready for it, I mean, she went straight down and landed on her hands, which, you know, kept her from hitting her face into the floor.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, a 62-year-old. That's not an 85-year-old who, you know, everything was fine, but it happens. And part of it, I'm sure there was something on the floor.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And she did that innately, that she knew to put her hands out.
Yeah, she just, you know.
Because I've taken classes in learning how to fall so that you lessen the blow and the hands, although they get scraped up, and they have when I have fallen. But they sort of instruct you.
Break and fall.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. So that you don't break the hips, because the hips can be life and death.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, the hip is, it's.
The hip, yeah. There's so many complications that happen from falls. A lot of people say, oh, you know, I just tripped a little bit. Great, if it's just simple like that, small, that's great. But if it's happening, and it's happening often, or if it's just out of the blue, I mean, it's definitely something to be worried about, or wary about, at least.
Right.
Just some statistics that the New York State Department of Health had.
Okay.
The people who've had falls, the percent that end up with traumatic brain injury, so some kind of head injury after that, is 55% after a fall. And people who've had to be hospitalized after a fall is 26%. And that's for at least 7 days, because there could be so many complications in a result of a fall. Do you hit your head? Do you hit your hip? Are you able to get up? Are you on any medications that have any kind of side effects related to that? So there's a lot of factors that influence whether you're going to fall or those kind of things. And a lot of those, you know, one of the things that you mentioned, one of those things is activity.
Right, right.
Being active, exercise. You know, the reason that she knew to put out her hands, you know, that's a natural response. But if you don't use it or lose it. If you don't have those natural responses, if you're limited in your mobility and your activity, you start to lose those like natural responses to, hey, I should put out my hands. It's not something you can really teach yourself or tell yourself,
right.
I'm about to fall, let me break my fall. But, you know, the more active you are, the more, you know, the more in tune you are with your body through exercise and those kind of things, that makes a huge difference in your body's ability to react in those situations.
Right.
Just a very, very short anecdote on this, in that I was walking one day and the lady in front of me just went down like a tree in a forest, and needless to say, her face was all bloody and so on. And when I said, stay down, because you don't know at first, don't get right up.
That's
could
true.
Be disoriented, you could be confused, but you also could have broken some bones. Mm-hmm. So it's always wise to keep them down for a while until the person either feels they're ready or a medical individual comes, can say, okay, it is safe to get up once you've gone down. But what was interesting, there was a raise in the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. And these are things all of us have to be aware of. Is there are cracks in the sidewalk? There are raises in the curb. Even the street itself may have a ripple, especially in the winter time when the snow comes and the plows affect and so on. Great Neck has been wonderful in trying to repair areas that were that way and are working to try to smooth out, so that at least it's not the structure that's making the fall.
Right.
That's great. That's a really good initiative.
And that's, you know, what you have too, all these trees over the years, as the roots are growing, they're picking up pieces of the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. And it's only a half an inch or an inch. Right. But for a senior who doesn't have a tremendous gait or whatever you call it, more of a shuffle.
It's not just seniors, because I've mentioned it to people who are younger. Your toe of your sneaker or your shoe even catches on these things that have a slight raise.
Right.
And then the next thing you know, you're down.
Right.
Yeah, it's a hazard.
Because you lose your balance.
We're going to go to break with this, and then we're going to come back. You're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.